This is James Robert Webb.
This is Taylor Swift.
This is Yachtly Crew, wishing you a Merry Christmas.
This is Randy Travis.
This is Leanne Rimes, and you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas Podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas Podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have singer-songwriter James Robert Webb back with us on the podcast. Hi, James.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there this close to Christmas. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well, yeah. I mean, just enjoying the season and glad to be able to take a couple of minutes out of the hectic holiday season to talk to you.
I appreciate that. You were on last year to talk about your new version of Old Toy Trains, and I can't remember if you preferred being introduced as singer-songwriter or if there was something else.
Oh, as we say in Oklahoma, just don't call me late for supper. You can say it. Well, I mean, I got into this as a songwriter, and then I had, you know, other people that appreciated like my voice. Like most people that start out, I hated my voice. You know, I've kind of learned to love it and hear what people hear in me, other people. But so I'd say, you know, I try to be a songwriter first and foremost, but and I've probably been doing that the longest, I guess.
And for anybody who didn't hear the previous episode that you were on last year, and I'll put a link to that down in the show notes, but I just find it fascinating that you split your time between Nashville and Tulsa with your medical practice.
I do. Yeah, that's been a pretty incredible journey. For probably about a decade, I wrote on Music Row, like, you know, probably 2 weeks out of every month. And I would go either drive or fly back and forth. And, even through the pandemic, you know, a lot of that. But in the last couple of years, I've tried to wind the Nashville stuff down and try to produce more things at home. I've had some cool opportunities that way. But there's still the split between, you know, not just Nashville, but just the split personality, I guess, of the creative side and the scientific STEM doctor side, you know.
I think most of us are interested in more than one thing. I know, especially for radio, they like to put every performer in a box that this is what you sing. You're a pop singer, you're a country singer, you're whatever. And that bleeds over into real life a little bit, but I think the truth is most of us have more than one interest. It's just that a lot of us aren't able to figure out a way to do both, or three, or whatever. So I think it's great, and it's inspirational to see you do it, because it just makes me feel, I'm sure it makes a lot of people feel like, you know, he's successful doctor and successful singer, and I should give that a crack. And now you're adding actor to that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, being involved in Music City Mistletoe is another dimension there. I guess for me, if I had to say what's the one thing that sets me apart in whatever I'm doing is I didn't self-apply this label for a while, but I'm really a philosopher, you know. I'm kind of really interested in the most basic of things, and, you know, like the, you know, why is it that we do this and that? And that's really served me in the medical practice, because I have huge success rates. I'm like, the procedure that I do, I'm actually found out I'm like in the top 10 in the country, in the US, on the procedure that I do by volume. And it really just comes from, you know, like taking almost a contrarian position of, rather than saying, well, we've always done it this way, then instead I look at, well, what's wrong with doing it this way? You know, like, what is the people that aren't helped by doing X, what is the deal that we're, you know, what is it that we're missing? And I think there's a whole, there's a movement in back pain, especially, like I just saw a LinkedIn post from another doctor that basically, I saw two different doctors that posted something that like, okay, this is what I've been doing 20 years. One is, his tagline was, I can tell you what's causing your pain and I can fix it without surgery or drugs. And that's kind of been my, you know, tagline since 2004, like, you know, pain relief, freedom from pain without surgery or narcotics. And another person had, you know, written something kind of similar, like they're, you know, that's what they do. So it's been hard. It's a big growing movement, but it's just kind of, you don't get that way by following what we've done before. So we don't get that way by just continuing to pump the back surgery service line, even though it pays, you know, well for people. You move forward by finding things that work better and are less expensive, that, you know, and provide a better service to patients. And that's kind of what I've built my practice on. Not that you don't ever need back surgery, but like I'd say, you know, most of the people that I see don't. And I think in music, it's kind of the same way for me. I've always like, yeah, for me, it has to have a beat, you know, it has to have a good melody. I like I like to enjoy the song and the lyrics too. And, but I can see a great, really well-written song, but if it doesn't like, is it not catchy, like the production isn't catchy to me, I don't like it. So I think I've always kind of looked at things analytically that way. And, you know, going back to the, you know, the talk, you know, the thing about balancing things and being an inspiration to people as far as doing, you know, multiple things. Look, I, you know, sometimes I make it look easy. And one, you know, one perspective could be, this guy has, you know, three number ones at Texas and has like 10 Music Row top 40s, but nobody knows who he is, you know, which is fine. I say nobody, but I mean, like, I'm not a household name kind of thing, which is, you know, not really what I want anyway. I just kind of want to make music that I want to listen to the rest of my life and that people like me like to listen to. So I've also, you know, when I was in Nashville, there was, you know, I kind of fell into the push of being a little bit more country on everything. And like when I've kind of realized I don't have to be in that box. And so I just kind of have been focusing on writing whatever. So I my musical tastes and repertoire, like from what I've listened to, is very eclectic. And so I'm trying to make my, you know, catalog kind of honor that eclecticness as well. So we don't have a ton of other stuff out, but I've got all kinds of crazy things I'm working on. I have like almost a grunge Nirvana kind of thing. I'm working on a project with Gary Katz of Steely Dan fame that's producing, like that's kind of a pop rock thing. It's just like, I've been so incredibly blessed to have to be able to work with amazingly talented people. And when you get those blessings, I like, it's hard to say no. Like, I feel like, you know, God, the universe has put that in front of me, and like, I'm going to pursue that.
What made you decide to look at acting, or did they come looking for you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great soundbite that they came looking for me. You know, I've been told, almost from my very first photo shoot that I should be in movies. And, you know, part of me is like, well, I don't look like Brad Pitt or, you know, whatever. I'm not like the, you know, the 20-year-old handsome guy or whatever, but it's just, I have striking features, I think is another way to say it. And plus I'm, you know, like I'm 6'5", you know, 6'6" in that area. So, yeah, I mean, this just an imposing presence on screen. The way this movie came about, like I wasn't really, you know, pursuing trying to be an actor, but I have, a great songwriter, a friend, Chantel Ogden, who she does music supervision, but she's one of the first people that wrote with me as a professional when I, you know, back in Nashville. And that's been like 15 years ago or something. And so she ended up kind of writing the story of her life, the screenplay. It's a really great screenplay. And it's a story about a song, you know, about a songwriter who moves to Nashville, and it's the ups and downs of the songwriting industry. And it's a, you know, it's a Hallmark love story kind of thing, meet cutes and things like that. And she has a country star in there, and she had me in mind for the role. Like, so, you know, maybe because George Strait wasn't available or whatever, I'm just teasing. So, you know, it's an honor to, you know, even to be considered. I think, you know, part of it is that that red Manuel suit I have on my latest album. I think she saw that too. And she's like, well, how great would that look in the movie? So there's just a lot of, you know, just a lot of things that came together. And the film itself is just, if you haven't seen it, it's called Music City Mistletoe. It's really cool. I mean, it's definitely in the Hallmark category of kind of holiday films. It's definitely family friendly. It's got a positive message, you know, and it's, look, is it as, do I like it as much as Elf? No, but you know, like I don't like most non-holiday movies as much as Elf, but you know, it's better than many holiday movies I've seen. You know, it's a really well written script. The production team did a great job. In fact, when you watch this movie, and at the end of the day, if I told you once you watch it, like they filmed this entire thing in 10 days.
Wow.
You would not believe me because they did such a great, great job. And the really cool thing, you know, Chantel Ogden that wrote it, executive produced it. She's like an award-winning songwriter. And she's also an artist as well, you know. And so usually you expect when somebody does that, that's kind of their life story, for them to like be all, you know, like controlling and in everybody's business when they're trying, you know, doing things that they are outside of their wheelhouse in a production. But she hired great people and let them do their job, you know. And so I think the end of the day, the movie is really good. I mean, it's not really blown up out there on places. It's a good movie. I think it's something that's going to be a slow burn. So I think, you know, this time next year, it'll probably be streaming somewhere or whatever, but yeah.
It's streaming all over. I just took a look earlier and Amazon Prime, Apple Plus, on the Roku channel. You can rent it on YouTube. It's almost any place you go for movies, you can find Music City Mistletoe. One of the things that I was surprised when I saw this, and I only say I was surprised because I don't usually know anybody in movies, and I saw that Bill White was in this.
Oh yeah, wearing my baseball hat.
Bill was a radio guy.
Yeah,
and he was in Cincinnati, I think, the same time I was at another station in Cincinnati. I don't think we ever actually met.
Yeah.
But we sort of know of each other, that thing. And we're friends on Facebook for whatever that's worth. But
same circles in small town or small city.
Yeah. But I saw that and I thought, oh, how cool. Because I know he loves country music and Christmas, and this is absolutely his kind of thing. And I don't know how big a role he has in it. He's not one of the leads, but I saw that he was in it and I thought, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of people. I mean, like they have, you know, Coffee Kelly and Cody. I forget who all is in the movie because there's so many people, but it turned out really, really cool. And then like another really cool thing about it is like the lead actors and like a lot of supporting actors, there's a lot of firsts for them. Like the lead actor, Sarah Priebus, is like, she's been an actress for 20 years. This is her first lead role. She's been in some, you know, a lot of different movies, but it's her first lead role. And Brooks Ryan, who plays the male lead, is from Oklahoma City. And I think that's his first, you know, like feature film lead role. So, and the little, you know, the young girl, Miel, who's in there, she's like, this is her first movie. And we're probably going to be seeing her on Disney Channel pretty soon. I think she's pretty incredible. So it's just really, you know, and even at the film, it's been at a couple of film festivals. And I think we were at the Red Brick Road Film Festival in Paul's Valley in Arkansas. And they chose it to kind of open up the film festival. And I think a couple of people won like the best supporting actress and a couple, you know, so it's an award-winning film actually too. Yeah. So the funny thing is, like, it has like the laurels, you know, like they do like with Cannes and like when it wins different film festivals. So I think if they put that out with all the laurels on it, it's going to be pretty busy. So, which is cool, you know. And so the other thing is, like, at the end of the day, like beginning, you know, January 1st, 25 between from that to December 31st, like I now have an IMDb page, which is kind of weird.
Check that off the list.
That's right. It wasn't even on my list, but I'll take it on the resume. It's nice. So
your new song, Merry Magical Christmas, is in this. And I think there's another song that by you in this isn't Fighting for a Dream. Isn't that your song?
Great. Yeah. That's a good memory of that. So that's a song that we play in the big finale, in the big scene where I sweep in and save the day as the big country star that decides to cut the song with the fledgling songwriter, and we kind of sing it at their Christmas party. So it's featured in the film, And yeah, I wrote that with Chantel and another songwriter, Bill DeLuigi. Sorry, probably about 10 years ago now. And that's just another proof of like you never know what's going to happen with a song, or how things are going to come back around in Music City.
Is Fighting for a Dream, is that available anywhere?
It is not out yet. Yeah,
Okay.
Bad on Me, right? Yeah, we need to release that at some point.
Okay.
And yeah, so I think what we'll probably do is like coming around next holiday season, we may release that as part of like, films or songs from the film or featured in the film. But I'm kind of holding on to it because we may end up, I did a full band version of it too. So we may end up releasing that as a single. So.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I
No,
wasn't
that's
missing
good.
it.
A little insider information for people if they're listening.
Nice. Merry Magical Christmas, did that come because of the movie, or was that something that you were already working on and it fit?
It's a little of both. So like the music and melody started with me a couple of years ago. I started wanting to write at this piano behind me. I started like I've got a great view out here of like the trees when they fall, or the leaves when they're falling. And so I wanted to start writing a kind of a songwriter holiday fall winter kind of album. That's not necessarily like all soaked in Christmas and everything, but just something that also encompasses the broader themes of like coming together at the end of the year and being with families and these traditions like Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And so I think part of what kind of inspired me was say like Joni Mitchell's River, like songs like that, just really songwriter songs and just something that's different, change of pace. And that was one of the two songs I'd kind of put together on that, but I hadn't really put music or put words to that. And we changed, like Chantel and I like finished it out and kind of worked on the melody and stuff. But the little beginning, wouldn't you know it's beginning to snow, da da da, was kind of like that kind of started from probably inspired by American songbook stuff, at the beginning. And by the time we're recording it, we're like going into the chorus of like da, 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 like a little Mariah Carey feel, like so that was fun to record.
Yeah, moving in almost to that sort of wall of sound kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, in between there, yeah.
I have to ask because I'm Christmas music junkie.
Yeah.
Is there more Christmas music coming? You alluded to working on a
Yeah.
seasonal sort of album.
Well, I think, here's even so you do Sounds of Halloween, right? Too.
Right.
Yeah. I've always there's been multiple times in the last decade, I'm like, we need a Flag Day song. We need like more songs that are like written around, holidays other than Christmas, like there's not a lot of Easter songs outside of in Christian music kind of stuff. But yeah, I've what's the lady I can't think of the lady that does all the Halloween stuff. It's not Petra's anyway, Kim Petras or something like that. So yeah, I've written some Halloween stuff because I'm just kind of all over the place, Ken. Like, so I have quite a bit of holiday stuff that I'm working on, and that's another project I want to kind of get out. And I'm trying to like, honestly, to give a little insider information, I'm kind of like trying to figure out, do I want to just maybe I want this just to be kind of like a piano vocal kind of and lightly produced type of album, and maybe there's some tracks are a little bit more produced out. But that's kind of what's I'm looking at there. But I think with being in the with being in this film, like, I mean, why not just pivot to doing holiday music, right? Just you don't have to I don't have to be country or whatever. I love the holidays, everybody has little ambivalence about the holidays. There's things that you like and things that you don't like, but who doesn't love the end of the year and getting around with, being around friends and family and celebrating the birth of our Savior? Give us some different music, when it's getting dark outside, like all these reasons to love holiday music.
Yeah, I don't need another reason, but
Right, exactly.
I may be an extreme case in that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, like you focus on what do what you're led to do. I think that going back to the thing about being the doctor and the musician aspect is like, look, if I had just decided just I'm just going to play around with my guitar at home and didn't do that, we wouldn't have all these other things happen, right? So just by deciding to follow something that you feel led to do, you can create this whole universe of things that are happening. Like, I would never have been in a movie if I hadn't decided to, you know, like write a song and try to sing it out. You know what I mean? It's just the very simplest decisions can kind of have that butterfly effect and send ripples out. So, you know, somebody focusing on what you love is great. You know, finding what you're good at, when you're great at holiday music, right, too. You know, like, they say write what you learn. And I've also found in life, like, you know, if you feel like there's something you're good at or you feel led to do it, a lot of times there's a reason that's been put on your heart. That might, you know, it's probably a special gift for you. You know, the thing that I do as a doctor, like, I have a special gift for it that a lot of people don't have. So
I'm curious, with Music City Mistletoe, did you get sort of an acting bug? Are you kind of looking for maybe another project?
Well, you know, acting seemed pretty natural to me. You know, like, you know, I'm playing myself, so how hard can it be, right? You know,
yeah.
You know, I think it was a little bit easier than acting in my music videos, because I think, you know, it's a little bit maybe more of a character or whatever in those. And you know, when I was five, and you know, putting on little shows, you know, on the fireplace mantle at Christmas time, you know, that's I don't know that I have that much in me on that side, like trying to show out. So I'm not very like, I'm not a great self-promoter, you know what I mean? I'm not very, hey, look at me. I'm a little too much of an empath for that, I guess. So I try to let the music kind of speak for itself. But that's not to say would I love to be in, you know, in more stuff? Absolutely. You know, but part of me is like, well, how much of that you wanting to be in stuff is really just to, you know, bring awareness to your music? And that's probably really what it is. Like, so I would, you know, I would go and, you know, shoot a 2-month movie or something if it would bring awareness to my music, I think.
So if
I'm not getting into method acting anytime soon, though, but you know, I have a lot of respect for everybody that does that. It's really it was really impressive just to see how people were working.
But if Chantel came to you and said she's working on Music City Mistletoe 2, you'd be all set.
As long as it has like a, you know, really cool title, like Music City Mistletoe 2, back to
revenge.
revenge of the publishing deal. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would never say no to a friend on something like that. And, you know, look, if something comes, this really fell into my lap. You know, it was just it was really cool, you know, really cool opportunity. And like, look, if I had tried to put something like this together, I don't know how Chantel did it. I mean, like, and still working as a songwriter and everything. I have a lot of respect for everybody that went through this. And just, you know, even if she never make the movie, the script's great. Like, I think the script by itself is a great script. So just have a ton of respect for, you know, all my fellow creatives and things that we're doing out there.
And speaking of creative, you had an interesting year besides the movie and the Christmas song. You started off with Telescope, which is much different than everything we've talked about so far.
Yeah. Telescope. I mean, the idea for Telescope. So for people that haven't heard this, Telescope it's James Robert Webb Telescope, basically. And so it was, one evening I just hit record and just for like 45 minutes or something, just played spontaneously, just, you know, kind of spontaneous composition stuff on the piano. Cause I do that all the time when I'm practicing, and I'm like, well, why should I just record this? And so I'd been wanting to do a kind of an instrumental kind of sound design soundtrack type of thing for a while, playing off of my name and the telescope. Cause I thought, well, yeah, that might be kind of interesting. So we did it. It was, you know, I liked it, but it is definitely different than anything else I've done. It's not, there's no lyrics, there's no words or anything. It was kind of recorded all at once and, you know, not really edited as far as a performance, just did some effects here and there to make it interesting. But that brings up an interesting question for like what I was alluding back to before. Like, you know, I have the grunge music, I have like some rock music, I have some pop, some different things. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately about how you segment, you know, market segmentation would be the, you know, the business term for that. Because like if look, if you're a hardcore country fan, you may hate Telescope and like, I'm gonna unfollow or whatever, I think the best example I can say is like, oh, like Kellogg's has Frosted Flakes and they have Mini Wheats, right? And those are two different brands and they've got their own logo and they're in their own box, but it's still Kellogg's, right? So if you hate, you can hate Frosted Mini Wheats and just wanna, just have hate in your heart for the person that invented them, but then love Frosted Flakes or something. This is the extreme example, right? So like if you found out that Kellogg's made both of them, you'd be like, well, I'm not gonna eat Frosted Flakes no more because I hate, Some people are like that. Have you noticed, Ken? Like
Oh yeah.
people are very,
I remember back in the 80s when people found out that I think it was Coca-Cola was behind Tab. I don't know if anybody even remembers Tab. Tab was a precursor to Diet Coke, but people found out it was the same company and it was, oh, how can you do that? I feel cheated. I feel robbed. And
I guess that's good
please.
publicity. Any publicity is good publicity. But for me, it's about like how do I do different things? The way algorithms work. Like I'm almost part of me is like, yeah, I'm done releasing singles. Like for Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. And I think I'm just gonna be like bring back the album oriented sound. Like this certainly Telescope is album oriented. Sound design kind of piano. So, I don't know. There's a little bit of jazz. There's a little classical kind of like it's just weird. Maybe there's a little new age in it. I don't really listen to new age music, but so yeah, maybe I've got to work on my brand segmentation. Maybe it's Jimmy and the robots or something. I don't, it's a different name. So who knows?
And that's, I don't know if it's exactly 180 degrees, but it's much different than Weekend Outlaw that came out last summer.
For sure, yeah. So what did you think about Telescope? You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. I just always like to hear what people think.
Telescope to me is much more background kind of thing. It's nice to have it on. It feels good listening to it, but it also doesn't require me to pay attention. I can have it on and I can be doing stuff and I can really like what I'm listening to, but it doesn't, but I can focus on other stuff. I listen to Weekend Outlaw and I want to pay attention to the songs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Weekend Outlaw is almost like demand your attention, and Telescope is definitely like it's a salve for ADD. Like it can just be on in the background. Like, and that's what I was saying on the sound design. When I say sound design, I wasn't even thinking so much like in the movie sense of sound design. I was thinking of like in spaces. Like, so my writer's room, which is a room next to me, like I have that on an Apple. Like an Apple HomePod, and it'll play like certain times a day, just kind of low level, and it's just kind of like a little nice. It's almost like a fountain trickling behind you, something like in that way. Well, yeah, I love what you said about that because I've thought about that subconsciously, but I've never had anybody say that to me, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's almost meditative, you know? It is you can immerse yourself in it, or you can have it on while you're doing tasks or checking your email or whatever, and you don't get distracted from what you're doing, but it's kind of a comfort to have it on. If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And that's kind of what I use it for personally. It's so funny. So it's that's hard to describe. Like what is that genre, right? It's almost like it serves almost the same function as like binaural beats or music to study to or something. Yeah, I think in the word you said meditative, I think totally applies to that because it was a very meditative process to me. And it's almost, I kind of feel like that was channeled, if you will. Like it just kind of, I think a lot of times when we write music, there's always this debate of did I think of it in my head or was it, did it come from somewhere else? And usually, like our great stuff and great lines, like seem to kind of appear out of thin air sometimes, as songwriters professionally, the mechanics. And so you're able to write it and you can take a little snippet of an idea and turn it into a song. But there's no substitution for getting that moment of inspiration, you know, that comes seems to come from somewhere else. You know, maybe it's your guardian angel. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's some wavelength from outer space. I don't know. But
so Weekend Outlaw, on the other hand, is much different. I don't want to say stereotypical Nashville, but it is the kind of thing that comes to mind. Gentlemen Start Your Weekends, Ride or Die. It's that kind of vibe that you get from it that is certainly much different than the vibe from Telescope. More of what you would expect, really, the kind of thing you'd expect from a Music City songwriter. And I don't want that to sound like I'm talking down about it or that kind of thing. But I think when you think of, like, when you think of the character you played in Music City Mistletoe, these are the kind of songs that you would, maybe they didn't leap to mind, but if you listen to Time's a Wasting, you think that's one of his songs.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Yes, exactly. So it's the, you know, that goes back to the whole brand segmentation, the identity, because definitely lyrically there's, you know, there's going to be my flavor in the James Robert Webb writer's voice and melody choices and, you know, just which come from musical influences and stuff. And even chord progressions are going to, you know, kind of like that typically ties to a certain kind of writer voice on the composition side, like a composer's voice, if you will. And yeah, I don't by any means hear that as talking down. I think, look, the whole reason that I chose, like when I started going into songwriting, like I could have went to LA or somewhere, but I went to Nashville because I had connections there or knew people there. And like one of the things at the time was for me that was the decision, I know I can learn how to write well in Nashville because like at the time, like, who were the two big, most commercial pop people were actually came up in the Nashville scene. And one was Katy Perry and the other was Taylor Swift, you know? So, you know, those are, I was talking about this today with somebody about, you know, Katy Perry being a very visual writer, like the show don't tell type of thing, even though her music isn't country, it has those kind of classic Nashville songwriter elements. So like, Have you ever felt like a paper bag floating or a plastic bag floating in the wind? You know, like that's a very visual type of thing. To me, that's almost like the, you know, like Tumbling Tumbleweed or like a Jimmy Webb kind of lyric almost. So,
you know, if you've never been to Nashville and your whole view of Nashville is from country songs or what maybe you've seen on TV, that's not the story. All the music that comes out of Nashville is not necessarily country or new country or alt country or whatever label they want to stick on it. There's pretty much any kind of music you can think of is being written and recorded and produced there. Everything.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, maybe one of the, a great example from maybe like 10 years ago is the Lumineers, like the, that was produced in Nashville, you know, Jack White's in Nashville, doing a lot of stuff. And even like, so a good example is like Classic Williams is this great artist that I love. And he's, you know, he is like rap, soul, kind of modern. He has a lot of really pop elements, but he's kind of more known as a rapper, but he did a guest feature on a remix of Gentlemen Start Your Weekends, if people have heard that one. And then he was also in the James Robert Webb unit. He was actually my bodyguard in this movie, like for 10 seconds. So, yeah, so there's all kinds of different, you know, people. I have a friend that she's a saxophone player. Like, there's a lot of pop. There's a big pop punk scene, you know, like in production and people that are writing, you know, a lot of cross-pollination between LA and New York, too, in the writers' camps with people in the major publishing houses and stuff. So it's just, yeah, it's And a lot of people are fleeing, California, for regulatory political reasons, and they're finding that Tennessee is, more favorable place to do business in many ways, So some of the big majors are shifting a lot of their operations to Nashville, for cost and different considerations. But yeah, Nashville is not what it used to be. The other thing is that Nashville and the country music industry, like, it's a very small proportion of Nashville's total industry. Nashville's the state capital. It's a big healthcare and tech area. I think there's something, I heard a quote, like there's something like for every, you consider everybody out there working like on Broadway, all the musicians and everybody, there's like for every music job, there's like, that's one out of 20 jobs in Nashville. Like Columbia Healthcare, like Bill Frist, all that's, based out of there. There's, this music AI company that is with Universal. We're based out of there. And yeah, it's just all kinds of crazy tech stuff, AI, everything.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly recommend, if you're looking for somewhere different to go on vacation, to look up Nashville, because it is not what you think. It's a big city, and there is so much to offer there. Music is certainly part of it. You could have a great time going to see somebody different every night that you're there. But there's so much, like James was saying, there's so much there besides
country
music.
Yeah. So Ken, let's just play a little game here. What's your favorite restaurant that's not, that you wouldn't typically think you would have found in Nashville?
A favorite kind of restaurant.
Like, is there a restaurant in Nashville that you would say, maybe it's not barbecue, or it's not, or maybe it is barbecue, but it's.
It absolutely is, because other than St. Louis, I can't think of going anywhere else for ribs than Nashville, maybe Memphis, but.
There's so many great places.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, one of my favorite restaurant in Nashville is probably Manit Chawan's Chawan Ale House, which is basically Indian. Like, it's just a very gourmet, high-level Indian by the celebrity chef. And it's nuts. Like, there's so many things in Nashville. Like, it's, yeah, it's not just country music and pitchers of beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like what the Dukes of Hazzard would be in 2025.
Yeah, it's kind of, in that way, it's very much, they call it Nash Vegas, right? So it's very much like one of my favorite cities, Las Vegas. If you get away from the touristy places, it's just a wonderful city. There's a lot of great people and really interesting things to do. And it's just in a very central, easy to get to location.
I don't want to keep going on about Nashville, because people will think that their tourist bureau is sponsoring.
That's right. This is not sponsored by the National Tourist Bureau. They're just lucky that we.
That's right. But if they want to sponsor, there's contact information.
I guess they're sound at Christmas, baby.
Yeah.
By the National Convention and Visitors.
So we've talked about lots of different stuff that is on your plate. What can you talk about that's on the way for 2026?
Yeah, so what's on the way for 2026 is hopefully getting my house in order and getting more music out. I have a lot of stuff in the works. I think one of the early things I'm hoping to get out is this the project I'm working on with Gary Katz, because it's some of the stuff from there is very cool in a totally different direction, and it might not be James Robert Webb. We might call it something else, But that's exciting. I'm going to probably put out some more instrumental. Some more instrumental piano stuff at some point. And then I've got a couple of my other, so the other thing, how eclectic I am. This isn't necessarily one of the songs that we have for the Halloween. Like, you've heard one of these songs that we're going to release for Halloween, but I also am writing. Let me put it this way. I heard Ozzy or Tommy Iommi or somebody one time say, Black Sabbath started because they wanted to kind of write music to horror movies, right? And it got me thinking, everybody watches these true crime things and all the soundtrack stuff, no offense to the great people that are making it, they all kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
And you know, the Mindhunter soundtrack is like an interesting one because it takes a bunch of different, you know, it's just a great music supervisor that put that together. But even the sound design music in between is very different, you know. And so that got me started thinking more along the lines of, well, why don't we write, you know, why don't we write song? Why don't I do a project where I just write songs that would fit in a true crime thing, you know, or like a Mindhunter alternate universe soundtrack or something. So I have a few things like that that I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get them out this year, but yeah. So my mind is always going in a thousand different directions there. And then, so it's just, you know, musically I throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. But you know, where I've had tried and true successes, you know, country and Christmas has always been good to me, and I love Christmas music. So I'm like, well, why not? Let's put some more Christmas music out there.
When we talked last year, you had mentioned revisiting, remastering, retooling, possibly your first Christmas album.
Yeah.
Is that something that's still percolating?
That's still percolating. Unfortunately, it's been on the back burner because I have, you know, there's been a lot of changes with medicine and regulatory stuff going on. And then like on top of everything else, I'm going to be the president of our Tulsa County Medical Society next year. So that's going to require some more involvement on that stuff. But, so I've been focusing in December on trying to get everything lined out with my practice so that I can kind of have a little bit better throughput in, you know, for the next year in music. So, because there's so many opportunities, I just don't want to let them things go by the wayside.
Well, I had to ask because, you know,
Oh, you're fine. The
Christmas music thing.
Oh, well, yeah, it's been on the back burner, but I really want to do that and get it back out. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm always going to have to crack the whip on me, though. That's the problem.
Okay. I'll
send you a whip for Christmas. Yeah. You can just
my wife will have questions.
Call me up and just put me on speaker and then crack the whip and say, James, where's that album?
Or we could just meet back here next year. And
oh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah. Anything that about Merry Magical Christmas or any of the other stuff we talked about that I didn't bring up or ask you that you wish I would have?
No, I mean, we've had a really wide-ranging interview, and, you know, I think this would probably give, if some of your listeners, maybe a little break from Christmas, unfortunately. Maybe it's a bad thing, me talking about different things, but I think, you know, Merry Magical Christmas, to me, I just came from a place of, you know, when you're a kid, you know, Christmas is kind of magical, and it's kind of like one of those times of year that anything can happen, and you know, there's romance in that. Like, that's the same thing in love and romance. And so it was just, yeah, we just tried to capture the spirit of the holidays in that one. So I love the way it turned out, you know, and I hope other people enjoy it too. And I want to say thank you for your support and playing it on Sounds of Christmas.
Oh, you're very welcome. I always love getting good new Christmas music. Or is it new good Christmas? Both.
Either way, right.
Yeah. Because I get a lot of stuff sent to me every year, and now with the rise of AI, there's so much that I get that some of it I can just tell, okay, human being wasn't involved in the creation of this.
That's right. Yeah.
And some of it I'll go and I'll say, well, this is interesting. Let me look them up, and I'm like, oh, look at that! They've had 37 singles released since October.
Hmm.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but it's always great to get good new stuff. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for you taking the time to talk about all this stuff. You know, you said that it might be a break for listeners to hear about other things that's not just Christmas, but you know, like so much of what we talked about, everybody likes lots of different stuff.
That's true. That's true.
And it would be kind of silly to think that the only thing that you're interested in doing is making Christmas singles and any of this other stuff I'm just going to ignore, not talk to you about, because it's all part of who you are. And I think that's great for people to hear.
Yeah. And I do think like other people hearing us talk in a format like this, you know, they can know that like when I If I put out some punk rock song and then I put out a country song and then I put out a Christmas song, like my, that's just who I am. My heart's, I'm not faking my love for those different things. So
Yeah, this is only an audio podcast, and you're in a lovely Christmas sweater today, and I believe the last time we talked, you were in a Nirvana t-shirt.
It may have been, yeah. It's one of my
So it is, we all like a lot of different stuff, and I think that's great, and everybody should embrace that.
Yeah, you should embrace what you love. Like you shouldn't try to change your taste just because other people think differently, right? That's a
Exactly.
recipe for disaster.
James, what's the best way for people to keep up with you?
Well, I'm not as fast as I used to be, so they can probably keep up with me in flip-flop. They're
I was
chasing.
thinking more like social media or your website
Oh
and that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
so I try to. My social medias are all like at James Robert Webb, JamesRobertWebb, JamesRobertWebb, or WEBB if you're talking Snoop Talk there. But I'm probably most active on Instagram. I'm on Facebook a fair amount. Honestly, I'm not on socials. Like as a person, I don't get on socials much because I think it's just such a time drain. But I do, if you message me on there, I will personally answer you back. So I guarantee you that. So thanks for looking me up. You can also, jamesrobertwebb.com has information there, and then all the streaming services all under James Robert Webb. So if you go to your favorite search engine, you can just do James Robert Webb, and I'm like the first three pages of stuff.
And I'll put a link to your website in the show notes so people can just scroll down and click on that. And then you'll see links to socials, to the YouTube channel, Spotify, all that good stuff, right there. James, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about all this.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again, Ken. And thanks for supporting Christmas music and doing this wonderful thing, Sounds of Christmas. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You do the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes as well. So you can click on that, find your favorite, then click on over and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.